Podcast.
K-State Nation, what's going on? Eddie Greer, your host of the Purple Project Podcast. This is episode 118 of the Purple Project Podcast, weekly postcast edition of the very first game of the season in football with K-State Wildcats. This is the Purple Project Podcast covering all things K-State. This is the postcast edition focusing on football. Eddie Greer, I'll bring on my co-host usually for the podcast in just a moment. Of course, you can find the Purple Project Podcast wherever you get your podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Odyssey, Audio Boom, and a few more other podcasting platforms out there as well. The season is officially underway for K-State. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. If you're new to this podcast, welcome on board. If you've been following us all summer long, we thank you for support. And if you've been following us from the beginning of this podcast, we definitely appreciate your help. The Purple Project Podcast in full swing, fall mode style. We're recording this episode 118 on just after Labor Day. Hope everyone had a great Labor Day weekend, September 6, 2022. And we have quite a bit to talk about here. So, let's waste none of the time. You bring on, usually for the podcast here, who lives out in the state of California, San Diego, California, none other than Alex Aiden. Alex, what's happening?
Not too much, Eddie. It is hot as you know what out here in San Diego. Triple digits, Eddie. Triple digits all through county. That rarely happens. So it was cooler. Cooler for you at the game. Cooler for you at the game. Because San Diego State kicked off. Eddie, it was over 100 degrees. So, cooler for the K-State game. Cats are 1-0, Eddie, which we'll talk about tonight. It was an interesting game. It was an interesting game against South Dakota. And there's really a lot there to dissect. And then also today we got the really unfortunate news about Taylor Portier and his knee injury once again. So he will miss second season in a row. Super bummed about that. I feel awful for him. Can't even imagine. But you know what? K-State's got to find a way to move on. Good thing they got a little bit of depth there to the line. But look, we mentioned that before the season began. We said this is why you got to have depth. Injuries are going to happen. And, you're already seeing that a little bit. Josh Hayes was banged up there a little bit too, and Robinson as well. So, but all in all, hey, good shutout against South Dakota. You got to be pretty happy.
Yep. And we'll just start there with the defense here on this half of the podcast. Yeah, you mentioned it. Before I get into that, yeah, you mentioned cooler. It was actually cooler where I was sitting at, underneath the shade. I was sitting underneath the Shamrock Zone, me and the wife, last weekend during the game. That's where our seats were at for the opening game.
In the Shamrock Zone.
No, I said inside. But below.
It's not like it's expensive or anything to go sit in the Shamrock Zone.
Well, see, if I had that kind of money, I would. But, yeah, underneath the Shamrock Zone we sat at, so probably need to clear it up. But anyways, we were outside.
I'm making a joke. That is, you know what, I will say this, and I noticed this in the broadcast, just a side note, you mentioned, with the Shamrock Zone, and I probably noticed it last year, didn't pay too much attention, but I definitely noticed it. You know, there used to not be all the press boxes, right? And the higher, the press boxes and kind of the stands going as high and all that. You really get a lot more shade and shadows now in those nighttime kicks than you used to. So it's much more visible. So better fan experience and also interesting dynamic in the game. Don't know if it has any impact on the players, but you definitely can see it.
Yeah, interesting perspective right there.
Interesting, meaningless perspective for me, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Underneath the Shamrock Zone there, and it was a little hot, but not as hot as usual for opening night games, so it was actually all right for the first game of the year. Obviously, it's, from my vantage point, obviously it's much more cooler in the early mornings. I'm a morning person, so then as the day goes on, it gets a little hot, but hopefully it'll be cool all day when fall is officially here, but it's still a little toasty in the state of Kansas, but things will cool off here soon enough. But K-State defense cooled off, so South Dakota offense, that's what we saw.
Yeah, that's true.
South Dakota was pretty decent coming in here to Manhattan, but overall, they just, I don't think they showed up to this game. K-State held the Coyotes offense to 270 total yards of offense there in the game. Looking at the individual stats here for South Dakota, Carson Camp only threw for 139 yards in this game. K-State defense racked up four sacks, including one for King Felix in the game, as well, along with three others as well. South Dakota's leading rusher was Samari Lawrence. He did not reach 100 yards, only got 85 yards, 14 carries. Travis Theis, 11 carries for 66 yards. The leading receiver for the Coyotes in this game was J.J. Gabreith. He was targeted six times for only three catches for 32 yards in the game right there as well. And, of course, we'll talk about special teams in a little bit there. Of course, the punt block in that first quarter there. Seth Porter was all over the place for special teams. I was very impressed with him. He's like the third string wide receiver. Of course, I have a whole lot to say about the wide receiver core later on in the show. But he really impressed me in the special team game. He was all over the place there on that. But yeah, the defense made a statement here early. Did not allow a point, obviously, there. Shut out their opponent there. And since 2019, their last, K-State's last shutout, got to go back to Bowling Green in 2019 when they last shut out an opponent there as well. And of course, Sincere Mason, who we've briefly talked about on this podcast, got an interception early in that first half as well. Yeah, you mentioned when they put up the starting lineups for the defense, they made, like, Sean Robinson started up there. Yeah. I didn't even notice him. He didn't play. They made a gaffe on that. Sorry, getting called out on this podcast, but I didn't see him on the field. Yeah, we already knew about Honus not being on the field either at all. They're playing without Josh Hayes. I didn't even recognize him out there either. So yeah, they're playing a lot of players back there, and you mentioned depth already, and it kind of showed out there for the defense, and defense did what it needed to do in this game.
Yeah, it did, and with Robinson, Sean Robinson there, and the oh my gosh, who was the other one? Who was it? Will Onus was out. Robinson, there's one other that got hurt that I'm blanking on at the moment that you just said, but that's okay. Anyway, those were injuries that were apparently sustained in Tuesday's practice. So K-State sent out their, their 2-deep depth chart on Tuesday. And then according to Coach Kleiman, they got injured later that day in that practice and led to them not playing there on Saturday. It was Hayes. Hayes was the other one. But you know what, Eddie? I think that it really did. You mentioned it. There were tons of defensive players that played in this game. And I think it's a good thing, Eddie. I think you want to get as many guys with reps as possible. Number one, because it's going to lead to, you know, having fresher units later in the game, which I think is important. But number two, you kind of figure out what you have. And again, this is kind of what I envisioned in the South Dakota matchup was, ultimately, K-State gets out to a lead big enough where, you know, they can see what they have, try some different things out. Now, the difference is they kind of did it all game, for the most part, on defense. They were really rotating a lot of different guys in and out and seeing what they had, partially because of injuries, partially because I think that was part of the game plan. But it was great to see, though, some of the young guys really come out and play well. We saw Payne come in there I thought he did a really nice job at different parts in the game. We saw a couple of the young guys come in and do some good things. Saw Purnell come in and do a couple nice things there. Well, in the game. So, all in all, you got to be happy with that. Clifton came in and had four tackles in the game. So, I mean, you definitely were able to get some contributions from some players, and I think that was definitely a good benefit from them. You know, we saw their who was it who got the Sincere Mason, was he the one who got the interception there?
Mason, yeah,
late in the first quarter. Just saw Sincere Mason in there, so you really saw a lot of guys that it was something that I think that it was really nice to see. Now, if we want to nitpick, you know, you could say, okay, maybe K-State blew some coverages from time to time, and South Dakota did drop a lot of passes, and those things are true. But again, when you're getting into those things, I think you're getting a little nitpicky. All in all, I think the defense had a really, really good performance. And what they did is they showed what I think is going to be the strength of this team. I feel like the defensive line is dominant. I thought that they were really good and controlled the game. They controlled it in the run game for the most part. They controlled it in the pass game. They were getting pressure on South Dakota consistently. Anytime that Carson Camp was dropping back to pass, he had someone in his face usually, or that pocket was collapsing. Saw Nate Matlack in the backfield a couple times. Saw Felix get a big sack there in the first half. Saw Eli Huggins getting through the middle and making some disruptive plays. So, again, these are things that we talked about in our preview shows. Was this defensive line and really how good it was going to be. And we saw Clay Duke really get a lot of snaps in this game as well. In a couple different positions, and that was really encouraging to see, too, because that's another thing that you and I talked about, Eddie, was what's up with Clay Duke? What's going to happen there? And they played him a lot in that first game, a lot more than I thought that they would. I think that that defensive front was dominant. The secondary was really good for the most part. I'm pretty much happy with those safeties. Again, saw a couple blown coverages here and there, but all in all, pretty happy with that. And even when I saw some drop passes, I felt like K-State was in position to make sure that those were limited plays. So wasn't too terribly worried. I'm not too terribly worried about that. Obviously, you want to make sure those things are buttoned up a little bit more against Mizzou. But again, you know, happy with the defense, Eddie. They pitched shutout. I didn't think they pitched shutout. I thought South Dakota would be able to move the ball on them, which they did. They had 270 yards in the game, but they were able to pitch a shutout. And you know what? Good for the backups, Eddie, who were in there late in the game. South Dakota's driving, and I thought for sure they'd score there in that last drive. But those backups, they stood up and they got a stop. And again, really nice to see that. Hopefully, you don't need all of those players later in this season, but giving them that jolt of confidence is something that. You can't put a price on it. You can't put a price on that type of confidence that they gain, because if they need to come into a game, they know they can get a stop on the goal line, Eddie. That's a big deal. That's a big deal, especially for these backups, these young guys. So it was really nice to see them preserve that shutout. Because I just think that, again, I think that's a big confidence booster to them. So all in all, very, very happy with the defense, the way they played. I think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic and bullish on what they can do in these coming weeks.
Yeah, and I mentioned over the summer that when we were doing the K-State roster breakdown, that there's going to be some guys that we don't call out that are not on the depth chart that steps up and makes plays. I was impressed with Austin Moore. He led the team with five tackles in this game.
Yeah, Austin Moore was played really well.
He played really well. I was impressed with him. Obviously, the top five for K-State, I'll give you guys this. This is the Purple Project Podcast, weekly edition, postcast style. K-State shut out South Dakota 34-0 over the weekend here in Bill Stein Family Stadium in Manhattan, Kansas. This upcoming week, we got Missouri coming to town. Austin Moore, five tackles. Then you have Jay Clifton that you mentioned, four tackles, second team with tackles. Echo Boydo, 3 tackles in the game. Felix with a included sack, 3 tackles. He and Julius Brents, mentioned the physicality. He really showed it there. If that's any indication of if he worked on his physicalness or whatever you want to call it, there you go, right there.
Laid the wood.
He laid the wood.
Good. I was on the TV.
Yeah, I was standing on my feet when he laid that hit on that wide receiver right there. Yeah, so we didn't mention Desmond Parnell over the summer. That's one guy. Circle him.
Yep.
There on that one. Go down the line here. Let's see. Bo Palmer is up there in the tackle sheet here. Let's see what we got here. Drake Cheatham on the list here as well. You have Nicondre Stinger on the list as well. And Dale Green only had one tackle in this game. so that kind of tells you something there about. Now, he was there, but he had other guys making plays. So Austin Moore showing that he can do some little something in that linebacker room. So he really impressed me the more. And then, of course, you mentioned the secondary. I was also pleased with Kobe Savage played in the game as well. He was up there flying around making hits all over the field as well. Then you mentioned Klee Duke as well. Yeah, I really thought he was going to play a little less than what I saw out there. But it's a good sign for K-State Nation that he was able to play. He looked like he was out there for most of the majority of the snaps in the first half anyways in the game there. When it got out of hand, of course, we saw other guys make plays as well. So this is a good step going forward for this defense here. Much bigger task at hand here coming up on Saturday morning against Missouri when they come to town.
Out on the TV for me. I thought that he was really good, and he laid the wood a couple times. Pretty good out there, too. So definitely some good hits out there. You mentioned Cheatham. I thought Cheatham was a little up and down. I thought that he was one of the ones that blew a couple coverages. But again, not too worried about him because I also saw some really nice flashes from him out there. And you mentioned with Klee Duke kind of got forced in there because of some of the injuries. I know Chris Kleiman said they played him more than they wanted to, but. He held up. He held up well, and then the 2D depth chart came out today, and he was listed as a starter on it. So I think that we'll see a lot more of him against Mizzou when Saturday rolls around. But the final thing, Eddie, is you mentioned the same thing. Daniel Green, you mentioned it. We didn't see a lot of him. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing because you mentioned other guys stepped up. And what was one of the biggest questions we had? Man, what if they lose Daniel Green? Oh my gosh, they're going to be in trouble. Like, what are they going to do? Look, they'd still be in trouble if they lose Daniel Green, don't get me wrong. But it makes you feel a little bit better seeing that other guys are able to step up. And Daniel Green doesn't have to do it all. He doesn't have to have 8 tackles, right, in the game to stop the opposing team. And so I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged by that. So look, we know we got Daniel Green. We know what we got Daniel Green. I'm not worried about Daniel Green one bit. I was more worried about the players around Daniel Green. So, the fact, again, they stepped up. K-State pitches a shutout with Daniel Green getting one tackle. Give me that, Eddie. Give me that. Sign me up for it. So, again, just really happy with the way they played. Just hoping that they can translate it over week 2 against Mizzou.
Purple Project Podcast Postcast Edition Football Style Kansas State 34 South Dakota Nothing. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas. Alex Aiden in San Diego, California. Episode 118. This is the Postcast Recap Edition. K-State shutting out the Coyotes of South Dakota over the weekend. Here recording on this Tuesday night, the day after Labor Day weekend. September 6, 2022. Now we flip the script to the other side of the ball in the offense. And a lot of media personnel, fans are a little concerned after this first game. Now, obviously, Adrian Martinez coming over from Nebraska, we knew the tagline on him. You can't turn the football over. His biggest pet peeve was turning the football over at Nebraska, right? Overall offensive thoughts here, I thought it was just kind of, now obviously, the first play of the game, electrifying 75 yards, Malik Knowles. You might as well just count that as a kick return for what that stood for. Everybody execute what they had to do. Deuce Vaughn just leveled somebody that opened up that hole for Malik Knowles there. He took it to the house right there, and then the special teams put South Dakota in a big hole there, 14-0. K-State scored 20 points in that first quarter, and they added 7 there in the second to make it 27-0 at halftime. And then moving on there, third quarter, DJ Giddens. I was really impressed with him. Big and physicality. Oh, yeah. He kind of reminded me a little bit of Jarcadia Wright. I didn't know how I was waiting to see how the size on this in this guy was. Everyone hyped him up a little bit. You know, DJ Giddens should be on the field, but is behind the playbook or getting injured. Well, my first impressions of him, I was impressed. I really am, and he definitely brings that physicality. Definitely a change of pace from Deuce Vaughn, for sure. I'm excited to see what he can do. I know it's only the first game, but I'm excited to see what he can do.
Love the way he runs.
Yeah, this year. Downhill, big back, run over you. Yep. Yeah, they need that physicality right there. I was definitely impressed there. That was the last score for K-State in the game there. Adrian Martinez, my first impressions of him, man. It's really, from my vantage point, it's hard. I mean, we've seen a lot of him with Nebraska, but, you know, he looked timid at times, you know, throwing the ball. We've heard multiple podcasts, post recaps, including 3-Mall, saying a little bit hesitant with the football at times, not throwing enough downfield. Now, obviously, you didn't want to really show anything with Mizzou waiting the wings this weekend. But I thought at times the offense was just blah. I mean, nothing really. Now, I mentioned over the summer that I wanted to see the momentum carry from the Texas Bowl over here to this. And it kind of, you know.
I don't know if you saw that.
What?
I said, I don't know if you saw that.
Well, actually, the first play of the game, you know, with Malik Knowles right there, I mean, that was electrifying there. I thought we're just gonna go ahead and just steamroll in the first half, but South Dakota kind of bowled up defensively there. So give credit to Coyotes defensively for kind of for slowing them down. You had missed kicks from Tennant there. That's a big question mark right there. Continuing to miss kicks there. That's a whole nother conversation there. But my first impressions of him, yeah, I have to see a little more, and hopefully. Colin Klein, the offensive corner for K-State, will let him loose a little bit here in Missouri, because you can't play like that against a big opponent coming in here to Manhattan. So I thought there at times the offense was kind of blah. Receivers dropping passes yet again. I don't know how many times that I have said this since the podcast started about the receivers going all the way back to first year. We have all this talent. And, you know, it's kind of underwhelming at times. So, and then you had RJ Garcia didn't really play much except garbage time. That doesn't really tell me anything from what the preseason hype was about him. I've been Jaden Jackson Island, didn't even see. He didn't even touch the field. So I'm kind of disappointed with the wide receiver rotations. Somebody said that as well. I don't know who said it. I think it was either Cole or Derek. One of them said it on their podcast, and I agree wholeheartedly with them. I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, they were rotating guys. Even when they had the lead, they weren't rotating other receivers in, which was complete opposite of what we saw on the defense.
Yeah. So that has to be a little concerning going forward. You hope to see that with Missouri. Again, the common theme around here is, you know, they didn't want to show too much, and, hey, I'm fine with that. But you want to get your offensive guys some experience, actual game experience in, not just garbage time. So I disagree with that. You need to put RJ Garcia, with all this hype about Garcia, I want to see him in here on the first team. Get him rotated in there. I know Kay Warner dropped a pass. Someone else dropped a pass as well. I know I'm seeing him going off on the wide receivers. But again, I mean, all this talent and kind of underwhelming a little bit. So, but Deuce did his thing on the ground here. I'm going to pull it up here. Deuce, over 100 yards rushing yet again. I believe that streak is now bumped up to 8 consecutive games since TCU last year. Deuce is doing Deuce things. DJ Giddens, very impressive. 6 carries for 57 yards in a touchdown run. Malik Knowles, only carry of the game. 1 carry, 75 yards for a touchdown. That's it. There
that's
as
production.
Well.
That is efficiency, Eddie.
Yeah. I want to say, hey, I'm all for that as well. And Malik Knowles, receiving-wise, 3 catches for only 14 yards. The most yardage came out of Will Swanson. 2 catches for 23 yards in the game. And probably the more, I was really impressed with Jake Rubley. Now, again, this goes back to garbage time, but this is first action we've seen him in the K-State uniform. I thought he looked really good, man. 4 of 4.
Loved it.
Yeah, 42 yards. That kind of answered our question about who's going to come in at the backup spot there, where Adrian Martinez were to has to miss a play or something like that. So that kind of answers the question on that. And Jake Rubley, for all that we kind of talked about him on this podcast in the past. I mean, behind the playbook. Well, it doesn't look like behind the playbook to me. He's like he stepped it up a notch. So that's kind of my take there in the offense. What do you got? What's your thoughts on the offense through the first game?
Sound alarm bells, Eddie. It sucks. Here we go. Panic. Set the panic alarms off. No, I'm kidding. I have seen some of that, though. I have seen some of that. I am honestly, I've seen some of that, Eddie, and I've seen some people say, like, Colin Klein's a genius. He knows, you know, he didn't show anything, like, not worried at all. I'm in the middle of all of all of that. I am not panicking, because it's one game. I'm not going to panic over one game. You can't, and you mentioned this, Eddie, but you can't quite gather enough information just out of one game, 4 quarters, 60 minutes. You can gather some information, but you can't gather. It's such a small sample size that it's tough. Now, I can be concerned about what I see in that small sample size. But ultimately with the offense, Eddie, I think it was a combo of a couple things with what we saw. You mentioned it. With Adrian Martinez and, you know, not really taking any shots and looking kind of timid. I think he was. I think he was timid. I think that there were some options down the field to maybe stretch things out a little bit. And he was a little timid because he didn't want to turn the ball over. Because based on what Chris Klieman said in the post game, I think that was a focal point for them. Let's not turn don't turn the football over, get comfortable. Adrian's first game out there, I think that they just wanted to, again, make sure that, he was comfortable, that, he could kind of get a little bit of a flow and a rhythm and they didn't turn the ball over. So, I think that's part of why we saw what we did see. Now, if you recall on our preview show last week, Eddie, I thought it would take the offense a little bit of time, cause they're new, they're gelling, you got a new quarterback, new offensive coordinator. There's a lot of new there. So, 100% get that. Didn't think it was going to be a well-oiled machine by any stretch of the imagination against South Dakota. But I did think that we would see that offense kind of stretch things out a little bit. Because running game didn't have any issues. K-State, I think they rushed for over 300 yards. I don't have the box score up in front of me, but I think they rushed for 297. So it was close to 300. So they rushed for nearly 300 yards. So it's not like they needed to do anything. And I don't think they wanted to put too much on tape for Mizzou. I do think that is a thing. But with that said, I am still a little concerned about it because, let's just be honest, Eddie, the secondary, and you probably saw this better than me being at the game, but it felt like
The receivers, you know, had some trouble getting some separation at times. I definitely saw some reads.
Yep.
I definitely saw some reads where you could see Adrian Martinez kind of going to his first read, to his second, to his third. Like, you could definitely notice it on TV that he's going through his progressions and no one's open, and then he goes to the guy in the flat. Like, I saw that multiple times. And to me, that's a sign of those wide receivers not getting enough separation for Adrian to hit him and feel comfortable hitting him. Now, on the flip side of that, I think that there were a couple times there were some guys open, and Adrian was a little timid and didn't throw their way, or he just didn't see them. But still, those receivers struggled to get a little bit of separation. You mentioned, Eddie, you had a couple drops. I remember one with Cade Warner in particular, where he had some room in front of him that he dropped it. It just was not pretty in the passing game. I mean, look, when your starting quarterback throws for 53 yards, that's not ideal. They did win, but when your starting quarterback throws 53 yards and you throw for under 100 yards passing an entire game, I'm going to be a little concerned, especially when pretty much half of that came from your third-string quarterback in the fourth quarter. So, yes, Deuce was great. Yes, I loved DJ Giddens. Loved the way he runs. I think he could be a great complement to Deuce based on what we saw early there. But the passing game was a concern. And the vanilla play calling was a little bit of a concern. It kind of felt a little Snyder-esque, which makes sense. Colin Klein's a Snyder guy. But how often do we see that? Where they go vanilla, Bill Snyder doesn't want to show anything, and then they pull some tricks out later. Again, I'm not saying that they should pull out all the tricks, but I felt like they got a little too conservative in that second half, Eddie. And I just felt like Adrian was a little timid, and they needed to do something to kind of loosen him up a little bit. And they never were really able to dial up that play to get him going. They tried on one instance where he went deep to Phillip Brooks, and it was actually a pretty good throw, and there was good coverage. Phillip Brooks didn't get great separation on that play down there near the goal line. But aside from that, they just couldn't really – there were really no even deep shots. It was just a bunch of dinking and dunking and working down the field. So, they got to be better in the passing game. There's no way around it. If they want to beat Mizzou, they're going to have to pass the ball better. If they want to win the Big 12 or make the Big 12 championship, they're going to have to pass the ball better. You can't operate offensively the way K-State did and be successful long-term. That just can't happen. I think they know that, and I think part of it was intentional, what we saw out there. But it is mildly concerning, again, when you throw for so few yards against an FCS team. That is concerning. And so, again, not going to sound any alarm bells. It's only one game. Let's see what they do against Mizzou. But it did get my attention. It did catch my attention. And I'm a little more uneasy about that Mizzou game than I initially was based on what we saw in the passing game. But with all that said, I do trust Colin Klein. I do trust his offense. We did see what he did in the Texas Bowl. I do think he was holding some stuff back. So ultimately, I think we just got to wait. We're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait to see what they do against Mizzou and what they pull out. And if we see an identical performance in Mizzou, I think we legit need to be concerned. But if they come out and, Adrian throws for 200-plus yards, I think all's fine. So I think it's going to be big there. But looking at the positives, though, they ran the ball really well. Got to be happy about the way they ran. You mentioned Deuce, 18 carries, 126 yards, touchdown. Blake Knowles, a 75-yard play right off the bat. Giddens there with 57 yards and a touchdown. And then Adrian Martinez, I will give him credit there. I thought he moved pretty well. Moved pretty well. He was able to pick up a couple third downs with his legs, and he got the rushing touchdown. So he did make some plays with his legs. Definitely want to give him credit for that. So again, they ran the ball really well. That's definitely a positive. And I think they will be able to run the ball well, as long as Deuce stays healthy. But we'll see what happens. And one other thing I did like, Eddie, is it felt like they were trying to get Malik Knowles going early. We saw the jet sweep on the first play of the game.
And then on the next drive, we saw a couple early passes to Malik as well. And I did like that. And the other thing that I liked was that Colin Klein was trying to get the ball to Malik Knowles in open space. I think there were at least three different occasions where they got the ball with Malik in Malik's hands in open space and allowed him to use that speed, use that athleticism that he has to make plays. I like that. They're putting Malik in positions to succeed, and I think that's really important. So I was encouraged to see that. Hopefully we can see more of that to come. But all in all, with the passing game, we'll see. We'll see, to be determined.
Yeah, we'll definitely get more questions answered when after this Mizzou game, for sure, because this is going to be kind of that first test. Missouri handled Louisiana Tech over the weekend, 52-24. Yeah, now I am on a little bit of cost sharing now after seeing that a little bit. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll get our quick questions answered for sure. Again, this is going to be an ongoing process. But yeah, a little concerned now, a little bit. But again, we'll see. We'll see what type of plays, the game plan, Colin Klein, Chris Kleiman have for this offense going against that Missouri Tiger defense there. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. 11 o'clock game. Probably more anticipated home games of the season. Early, sold-out crowd. Supposed to be possible record crowd from what people are telling me. Some of my friends have told me that are going to be there also. So, it's going to be big-time game. All I gotta say is we'll have to see what happens there. But yeah, you mentioned Adrian, the rest of Adrian's numbers there real quickly. Yeah, he only threw for 53 yards on 15 attempts, 11 completed out of those. He did get sacked 3 times in the game there. So Jake Ruble got sacked once in his ball game. So we'll see. We'll see if the receivers can step up there and Deuce and DJ continue to do what they do on the ground. That will go a long way to open the passing game a little bit too. So if Missouri not top of their game on the ground defensively, then I'm pretty sure Adrian Martinez, we've seen it before, he can hit some pretty big plays, mid-range plays down the field. So yeah, and you mentioned another thing too about separation. And it seems like to be an issue with this receiving core for the last, several years now. Not getting open, no matter who the quarterback is there. So we'll have to see. I mean, all the hype around certain receivers, like R.J. Garcia, I would like to see more of that in person, obviously. We did see Sammy Wheeler for one catch for 10 yards in this game as well. Others, D.J. Moore caught a pass. The backs caught a couple passes there for not much yardage there. Cade Warner only caught 3 catches for 10 yards. Knowles, 3 for 14. Swanson, 2 for 23. Ben Sinnott, he played quite a bit in this game. Also, from what I saw as well, he caught 2 catches for 12 yards in this game. So, yeah, we'll just have to see what happens there. And total, let me see here. Yet, with all the struggles, K-State almost put up 400 yards total offense there. So, all is well with that there. Despite lack of a passing game, they still were able to gobble up the South Dakota defense on the ground yet again in Manhattan. So, it's going to be interesting to see if Colin Klein can open the playbook a little bit against Missouri and show a little bit more. So, that's what I'm going to be paying attention to. This weekend, I'm pumped up about this game. I've been waiting for this game for quite some time, so I'm looking for a little bit more. Like I said, you go to your favorite restaurant, and you want more. Yeah, that's how I am with this football. I want to with this offense. I want to see a little more, and hopefully we'll get it on Saturday for sure. There.
Yeah, you know that is a hope. Eddie, no one likes to be shortchanged at their favorite restaurant. You know. Fill me up, you know, no small portions, give me big portions, give me what I want, fill me up, I'll leave happy and full. Did not quite leave this meal happy and full. I left happy that they won, but there was still a little to be desired. And I will say this, when you're averaging more yards, when you're averaging more yards per touch in the rushing game than the passing game, I don't think that's typically ideal. They average 5 yards pass, and they average 6.5 yards a carry. Again, that's not typically, look, it's great to be able to run the ball well. In case they can run the ball well, running 6.5 yards a carry, that's fantastic. That's amazing. You absolutely want to take advantage of that. But, man, five yards now on average a pass. And then for Adrian Martinez, his average pass was 3.5 yards a pass. That is not going to work. That's just not going to work. And, again, don't want to sound the alarm bells. I really think K-State was vanilla. Well, I mean, heck, Chris Klieman said as much today. He said that they were bringing some pretty vanilla stuff on offense in the second half. But I think Adrian did look timid. And, again, he's going to have to get over that. He's going to have to make big plays against Mizzou. That's just the truth, Eddie. I'm looking forward to the Mizzou game. I really am looking forward to it. I am a little concerned just about that passing game against Mizzou because, man, again, offensively, if K-State does what they did against South Dakota, that's not going to get it done against Mizzou. It just isn't. And Mizzou's got enough firepower on offense to beat K-State if K-State's going to put out a similar performance offensively, particularly in the pass game. So, again, I do expect K-State to be better offensively, but we just have to see. We just have to wait. We just have to see. We talked about this multiple podcasts. There's a clunk game every year, and this was not a clunk game. I think K-State did play well in a lot of areas, but you're not going to be playing well offensively every game. This is the reality. But you're not going to play well defensively every game. There's going to be those games where you got a clunker somewhere. This may just been that clunker for the past game. And let's not forget. You know, this was Adrian's first game as a Wildcat. His first time in the Bill. First time in that environment. First time in live action with this team and with that offense and with Coach Klein and Coach Kleiman. This was all new for him. And there's no doubt that Adrian Martinez there was some adjusting and some getting comfortable out there. So, let's see him go back to the film room, take a look at the film, identify what he could do better, and let's see him next week when I think he's going to be more comfortable. Because if he's more comfortable, Eddie, he may be a little less timid, a little less worried about that turnover, and willing to rip it, willing to rip it and take some shots that maybe he wasn't this last game. So, interested to see how that plays out. And then all in all, Eddie, just for Mizzou, you can feel it this week. The rivalry's back. Twitter beef is in full force between the two fan bases. I see it on my timeline. It is back. This is why you just feel the juice. You just feel the juice in the air. This is why I was so pumped that they were going to play Mizzou and home and home. I got a couple friends that even reached out to me wanting to make bets on the game that are Mizzou fans. And so, hey. We'll see the way it rolls, but I'm excited for it. I'm excited. I'm eager. And I think the Bill's going to be rocking, Eddie. The Bill was rocking on last Saturday, and I bet it's rocking even more, next Saturday against Mizzou. I'm definitely looking forward to that.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
That's for sure. 50,469 was the attendance last Saturday for the home opener. South Dakota K-State shut out the Coyotes 34-0 in a season opening game for the K-State football in 2022. Eddie Greer, Alex Hayden here. About to wrap up this postcast here, coming to the end of it anyways here on the Purple Project Podcast, episode 118. A couple of notes real quick. Deuce Vaughn now has moved into 8th place in K-State history there. On the all-purpose yards list there, over 3,200 and plus now. If you want the exact number, that's 3,219. So Deuce Vaughn continuing to climb up that list there. And the block punt there by Seth Porter that led to a touchdown. 126 non-offensive touchdown by Kansas State. Going back 1999 to be exact. The most in the nation. Special teams U was on point, except Chris Tennant. Once again, the struggles continue for him. It stands out. Everything else is going to be all right in my books. If I'm in, trying to drive down for the winning score, in particular, if I'm down by one, needing a field goal, am I confident in Chris Tennant? Nope. That is a no. That's a no for me there. If there is another kicker, this would be a kicking competition. But apparently, if you have this job, you got to nail it down. You cannot be missing kicks. I know one was a field goal, a 42-yard field goal was missed in this game. An extra point was missed as well. And all I can do is shake my head. I don't care if I'm up 20-0. Well, you have to hit these field goals. Now, I know you said, it's hard, kick a field goal. It's not that easy. Well, hey, when you're starting a kicker of any team, I don't care if it's Kansas State. You can probably ask LSU that. Getting the kick block there. The fourth try to force overtime. Offensive line can't hold up. And Florida State blocks the kick. What a wild finish that was to that game there. But, yeah, I don't care with K-State, Oklahoma State, OU, any of those teams. You don't have a good kicker down in the crunch time, down in the crunches, in the trenches when it comes to crunch time. You need that field goal to win the game because I know there's going to be one or two games, Alex. You know this as well. One or two games that's going to decide a field goal. I'm not very confident right now. I know it's very early. Don't tell me it's the only first game. Yes, it's the first game. You have to make these kicks. It goes back to last year. He struggled at the second half last year. So that does not give me much confidence, especially if this were to go down, like for instance, and who knows, hopefully it doesn't go down this way, but I'm going to use this reference anyways. But if it does, you can blame me. Come back on this podcast, you can blame me for it. But if it comes down to a field goal on Saturday, am I confident Chris Tennant going out of field kicking a 30-plus yard field goal? I am not. So that's just my stance on it.
Oh, trust me, I share it. I share your stance, Eddie. Look, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. The kicking game was atrocious last year. It was atrocious. I'm sorry. I know that may sound harsh, but the kicking game was atrocious last year, and it was not better on Saturday. I was hoping it would be. I really was hoping it would be. I know Chris Tennant was a really, really good kicker in high school. one of the best in the country. I know. I get it. But look, it's not translating. It's not translating to the college game. I don't know why. I really don't. But it just isn't. It just isn't. We're not seeing it. And, I thought, Eddie, maybe an offseason would kind of get things – maybe get things more on the right track. I know he's got just a great leg, but accuracy clearly is an issue. It just was not impressed with really any of his kicks on Saturday. Even his extra points he made, I didn't like them. They were. I saw some sputter kicks. I saw some line drives. I mean, there was no consistency to his kick. Just none of it looked good to me. And again, he obviously shanks the one extra point, but yeah, those extra points he made, they were not pretty. They were not pretty extra points. I don't know how they looked at the stadium, but on TV they didn't look pretty to me. And then that 42-yarder, I mean, he missed it by a mile. I mean, I think it was nowhere near going in. So I'm not here dogging Chris Tennant. He's got a ton of talent. He absolutely can be a great kicker, but for some reason, it is just not translating. What he did at Mill Valley is not translating to K-State right now. It just isn't, and it has to, because you are right, Eddie. It is going to come down to a situation where K-State's got the ball. They're down two. You mentioned it, 2 minutes left. You're driving for a game-winning field goal. At this point, you can't kick the field goal. I mean, I feel like that's not your best. That's not going to give you the best chance to win. The best chance to win is going to be to just roll the dice and see if you can score a touchdown. That's how I felt last year. I felt like they should go for it on fourth down on most, if it was within like the 30-yard line and it was a fourth and, wasn't a fourth and long.
man, I'm beginning to wonder if it's going to be the same thing this year. I'm going to be thinking, man, plus and fourth and five at the 23, just go for it. It's your best shot. So, you know, definitely worried about that, especially because we've talked about K-State's schedule. We've talked about how tight things are going to be. And if things are going to be as tight as we think that they are, there's probably going to be some games that are going to come down to field goals and kicks. What you may have happen is what we just saw happen against LSU, against Florida State, or in the Florida State LSU game, I should say, where LSU drives 96 yards, I think it was, to get a touchdown.
It was more like 99 yards.
99, you're right, it was 99 because they fumbled at the one. And then you drive 99 yards, you score in the last play of the game, a touchdown, and then you shank the extra point and you lose by one. That's going to happen. That's going to happen to K-State if they don't get the kick problem fixed. And it's going to lose you a game. And it's going to lose you a game you can't lose. Imagine if that happens up in Ames. Imagine if they're up in Ames and that happens. That's going to be a problem. That's going to be a big, big problem. That in fact, that could lose him his job if that happens in that type of scenario. So I just hope they can figure it out. I hope they can get to the bottom of it. Because you look, I don't want to sound dramatic, Eddie, but if you want to be a Big 12 contender, you got to have a kicker. I don't want to sound dramatic, but if you don't have a kicker, that severely limits what you can do in a game. It's going to put too much pressure on the offense. So they got to get it figured out. And again, I'm not bailing on Chris Denton. I'm not saying that he can't get it figured out. Again, I know he's got a bomb of a leg, but he's got to get the consistency down. He has got to get something down because it's concerning. I wasn't going to sound the alarm bells after one game, but I feel like, you know, we saw this last year too. And so I feel like we got a little more of a sample size with Chris Tennant and the struggles that he's had since he's a cat. And I don't want to put the pressure on him, but look, we saw what happened with Jack Cantelli in the K-State Auburn game.
Man,
you lose by six and you miss three field goals in that game, three gimmies. Like that, you can't have that happen. And you cannot have that happen. So, you know, hopefully they can figure it out. But we will see. There's still plenty of time. We'll see if they can figure it out. Maybe he can make some kicks. But, man, that 42-yarder was not – oh, man. I just I'm picturing it, Eddie, in my mind. Just the ball sputtering, just floating to the side, just like a mile away from the goalpost. And I'm just like, that's a kicker – that is in a funk. Like, kickers don't do that. Like, that's not, like, that doesn't happen. Like, that just is not supposed to happen. So, again, hopefully he can figure it out, because K-State needs him.
Ty Zentner had five punts on the night in South Dakota for an average punt of 40 yards per punt, and he is the backup kicker. Desmond Purnell, off the Seth Porter block, scored the second touchdown of the evening for the Wildcats there as well. So, yep, was, again, still a long way to go here in 2022. We got a second game of the year, Missouri, coming up. We'll see what happens. The kicking episode continues for Kansas State there. We'll see if all that talent that Chris Tennant supposedly has can right itself and he can get somehow corrected and get some better kicks inside the goalposts. More importantly, Eddie Greer, Alex Zane, the Purple Project Podcast, weekly edition, postcast style. K-State 34, South Dakota nothing. K-State 1-0 now. And, of course, South Dakota from the FCS 0-1. To wrap things up here, I'm going to go ahead and do the Big 12 here real quick. Look around. The Big 12 was 9-1. I'm going to go run down some of these scores. All the scores real fast here. Oklahoma State survives against Central Michigan 58-44 in that one. Wild game in Stillwater right there. Let's see. Johnson, wide receiver for Oklahoma State, had six catches for 133 yards in the game and a touchdown as well. Let's see. OSU defense gave up 424 yards through the air in this one there. So the defensive coordinator there who went to Ohio State, could be huge for this team here moving forward. But, yeah, they went in a shootout. Pittsburgh, I told you this was a good game.
Great game.
What a game this was. Neil Brown lost it for West Virginia there in that one. 38-31, Pittsburgh rallies back and steals one away from West Virginia in that one. West Virginia, the only team to lose in the Big 12 last week. KU trounces Tennessee Tech, 56-10. TCU, I saw the first half of this game. TCU all over Colorado, 38-13. I thought it was going to be a little bit closer than that. Oklahoma, Brent Venables' first game as OU coach, 45-13 over UTEP. And then Baylor runs away from Albany, 69-10. Iowa State beats Southeast Missouri, 42-10 there. And Texas Tech beat down Missouri State, 63-10. And then Texas now has to face Alabama. Woo! Good luck, sir. That's going to be a future SEC game. Texas, though, first off, beats Louisiana Monroe, 52-10. And they look forward to getting that beat down from Alabama this week. So, yeah, looking at the Big 12 slate there, some really good games across the board here. Obviously, with ours in Missouri here, if I can get it to switch over here. Yeah, I mentioned Alabama, Texas. That's going to be also 11 o'clock game with K-State, Missouri State here in Manhattan, Kansas. And then you got the afternoon games of Texas Tech and Houston, a la future Big 12 matchups. They're Houston, ranked 25th in the nation, going down into Lubbock. Both teams are 1-1. Then the rivalry game here, Iowa State, Iowa, 3 o'clock on the Big Ten Network there. And then also a ESPN Plus game here. Kansas on the road going to West Virginia. This comes an interesting, spicy game, in my opinion here.
Yeah.
West Virginia, how do they bounce back? Do they bounce back, or does Kansas roll up in there and puts a really good real alert on the Big 12? We'll see what happens there. Oklahoma hosts Kent State. Oklahoma is now 7th in the country there. And in this one, prime time, Arizona State goes to Stillwater to take on 11th-ranked Oklahoma State. And then TCU plays no-name Tarleton at home. And then this matchup, another future Big 12 matchup, Alex. BYU, 21st in the country. Baylor has to go on the road, Provost. Baylor, 9th in the country. Man, that's going to be a really good game late. I'm actually glad this game, K-State Missouri, is an early game, because some of these games in primetime, like a Baylor BYU, it's going to be a good game. KU West Virginia for me draws really spicy. So the Big 12, a lot of great games across the board on Saturday.
Oh my gosh, Eddie, the Big 12 slate is loaded. It's loaded in week two. You mentioned it. Get your appetizer with K-State Mizzou. In Alabama, Texas, right? Just to whet the appetite. And then you're going to go to your main course, and you're going to have Houston, Texas Tech. Why not have the Iowa rivalry with Iowa State? And then you want your mid-afternoon snack. So let's get a little Big 12 matchup in there, right, for your mid-afternoon snack, your mid-afternoon Tex-Mex. KU and West Virginia. You know, a lot of storylines there. Can KU keep the momentum that they got from the Tennessee Tech win? How does West Virginia bounce back? All of a sudden, that's a really big game for them that they can't lose coming off that big game. And then you have your dessert in the evening where you can get Arizona State, Oklahoma State, Baylor, BYU. I mean, all day long, the Big 12's got you covered with just some of the best games, just some of the best games. So this week, too, is just absolutely loaded. And it is a football fan's dream. Dream scenario. So I am definitely looking forward to it. Even though I won't be able to watch a ton of it because I will be flying to Phoenix that day. But still, look forward to it as much as I can watch it, because there's some tremendous games
all time to the day. I tell you, there are some matchups. I'm not sure what's going to happen. Like, I look at Eddie Houston, Texas Tech, and I'm like, I don't know. And then it's like Iowa State, and you look at Iowa, and you think, well, I mean, Iowa's favored, but, I mean, Iowa also beat, I can't remember who it was, 7-3 without scoring a touchdown this last weekend. And then you look down the slate, and then you just think Baylor, BYU, and you're just like, oh, my gosh. Like, Baylor's a top-10 team, but BYU just traveled to to USF and just dominated them. And it's so hard to win in Provost at night. Oh, man, so great games, Eddie. Great games, and I can't wait to see how they all pan out.
And lastly, to wrap up this episode 118 of the Purple Project podcast, postcast style, K-State shuts out South Dakota 34-0 at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. And now the rivalry is back on Saturday. Mizzou comes to town. The fans already on Twitter barking at each other here. So good. It's going to be a good one. And if you mentioned you're going to be on plane to Arizona, Kansas City Chiefs. Play 3:25 Central Time against Arizona Cardinals there. And then, of course, my Falcons host. It's hate week all across the board for me. Of course, Missouri comes here to K-State in the NFL side. Hate week is big. Big division game right off the bat. The New Orleans Saints go come to Mercedes-Benz to take on the Falcons at the early game, early slate of game, and then the Chiefs play at the mid-afternoon slate there as well. So the NFL kicks off officially on Thursday night. We will be recording probably towards the end of this football game with the Bills and the Rams there as well. So huge, huge weekend of football there. Alex there, to kind of wrap up there. What are you looking for your Chiefs? You going to Arizona? Is this going to be your first time over in that stadium?
No. Because, do you know the other time I was there, Eddie? It was when K-State, I was there one other time, it was when K-State played Oregon in the 2012-2013 Fiesta Bowl, Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, if you remember that game.
I do remember that game. Colin Klein. Yep.
I was there, Eddie. I was there watching, was it D'Anthony Thomas who had the kickoff return?
D'Anthony Thomas.
And then they went for two right after that. It was like 8-0. Like
right off the bat. Bam. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I was taking a picture. That's how I took a picture. There was a touchdown already. I was there once for that game.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. I was there. It was a good time. Oregon, Marcus Mariota, your Falcons quarterback now. Marcus Mariota and... K-State looked kind of silly there. But hey, also, I think Oregon was the second best team in the country today. You're behind Alabama. Notre Dame got the national championship, but I still don't think that they were one of the top two teams. That's another hero there. I've been in that stadium once, and so I'm excited to go back again and to see them play the Cardinals. I think it's going to be a really interesting game. You got Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray. I think it's a really good quarterback matchup. It's going to be interesting to see some of the matchups that you're going to have in this game. The Falcons, they don't have DeAndre Hopkins serving a 6-game suspension, but you do have Hollywood Brown.
You said Falcons. Well, we.
Hopkins. They don't have DeAndre Hopkins. You heard Falcons.
Yeah, I heard Falcons. Yeah. Falcons. Yeah. Yeah, you said. I thought you said Falcons for sure. You said Falcons had DeAndre Hopkins.
They're
going to
start the year 0-6. No, I'm kidding,
man.
I hope not.
I hope not. That's not easy.
No,
so
DeAndre Hopkins he's suspended for the first 6 games, so you won't have him. But you will have Hollywood Brown, who they traded for. In the trade with the Ravens this offseason. And you will also have Zach Ertz, who they made a trade for as well last year. Maybe it was a signing. I can't remember. But either way, you got Zach Ertz out there too. So they got some offensive players. And then obviously James Conner. He was a touchdown machine last year for them. So
They definitely got some pieces offensively, and then obviously defensively they got some pieces too. But I do like the way the Chiefs match up all in all with the Cardinals, Eddie. So I'm feeling pretty good going into that game. You know, again, first game, I'm sure that there will be some bumps in the road, but I do like the Chiefs' chances in that matchup. I just think it'll probably be a one-score game. I kind of view it, honestly, in kind of a similar light that I do the K-State Mizzou game. Maybe a little more comfortable about the Chiefs-Cardinals game than the K-State Mizzou game, just because I feel like there's a few less question marks with the Chiefs than there is K-State. But I think a 1-2-score game. Again, going to be a good game, but the Chiefs find a way to win it. And then after that, they got to turn right back around because they play on Thursday night, week two, against the Chargers. So, I mean, that's a big game 2 weeks from Thursday. The first game actually on Amazon Prime TV. So. That's going to be a big one. They're going to have a quick turn. So, I think they're kind of prepping for a couple of opponents right now because of that. But I'm eager to get to Arizona. Eager to get the NFL season underway. Definitely hope that they can get that win. You want to know going into that Chargers game that's going to be so big in week two on Thursday night.
All right. We'll see what happens there. You hear that sandstorm playing, folks? Episode 118 of the Purple Project Podcast Postcast Edition coming to a close. K-State takes care of South Dakota, shutting him out 34-0. Next on K-State's list, schedule the Missouri Tigers from the SEC. Both teams come in to the bell 1-0, and the atmosphere is going to be electrifying. Early Saturday morning at 11 a.m. I cannot wait to get to the stadium for that game. And, of course, we'll be back later on in the week for our weekly edition of the Pro Project Podcast. A lot to talk about, including soccer, the volleyball team. Getting ready here, as we're sitting here, wrapping up this podcast, getting ready to play, guess who? Missouri. Here in Bramlage tomorrow night when this podcast goes up tomorrow night, or after the volleyball game tomorrow night, I should say. We'll see if K-State, the volleyball team, can set the tone. That'll be nice to see that go down at Bramlage. So if you're here in Manhattan, want to check out the game, I would advise you to do that. You got nothing to do, go out to the game and support your volleyball team. They start the year 5-1. Of course, they lost the first match over the weekend there, so they're looking to bounce back from that and really looking forward to setting the tone there. Soccer continues their up and down year, and we'll preview the Missouri matchup. Last words, Alex Aiden.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at Drinkwitz right now on my screen. He's playing in a press box. I can't hear what he says, but I can't look at his face anymore, so I need to shut my computer. Drinkwitz, man. Drinkwitz, I'd love to be Drinkwitz. No, Eddie. I'm eager for us to talk in our weekly. Got a lot of stuff to break down. I can't wait to break this Mizzou game down with you. I think this is a really, really intriguing matchup. Number one, it's a huge rivalry. Say what you want, it's a rivalry. I'm from Kansas City. I know how it rolls. It's definitely a thing. I'm so pumped that it's back. You can already just feel it. You can feel it. I think it's just going to be a great environment, a great football game. And I think it's good. I think this is good for college sports, Eddie. When you get matchups like this, where you're able to reunite, get some more regional. You know, we've gotten so far away from the regionality of college athletics. Being able to get some of that regionality back in some of these non-con games, some of these rivalries renewed. I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great thing for the game, and a game that's kind of losing sight of that. So, just super excited for the matchup, and I really, really hope that K-State ends up on the right end of it, because I don't want to deal with all the Mizzou trolls if K-State loses. So, K-State, if you could just win, that would be great. But I can't wait to break that down with you, Eddie. Break down volleyball, break down K-State soccer, who continues to just score a goal every game.
And, you know, again, you know, we'll be back here in a couple days.
That is correct. That's going to do it. Perfect way to end it right there. K-State 34, South Dakota nothing. You have been listening to the Purple Project Podcast, postcast style. Brox, Aiden, Eddie Greer, appreciate you guys for downloading and listening to the Purple Project Podcast. We will be back later on this week to get you hyped up for Mizzou. We out.
Are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.